Welcome to my commentary on Peter's second epistle. This section, 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 5 through 12. We will begin in verse 4 because verse 4 begins a very long sentence. We talked about verse 4 last time, so I will not comment on it. Verse 4 says, "For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, putting them into gloomy dungeons to be held for judgment." So Peter is saying, if the angels gets judged by God, you false teachers, you've got your day coming. Verse 5 says, "If he did not spare the ancient world when he brought the flood on its ungodly people," meaning the people prior to Noah's day, he's talking about the Noah's flood, "but protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness." We see Noah, as Peter states, a preacher of righteousness. Now, the Genesis text doesn't call Noah a preacher, but in one sense of the word, he was. He stood for righteousness, and thus he was protected. Some people who believe in a pre-tribulation rapture suggest this is symbolic of that. They may be stretching things a bit. And seven others. Verse 6 says, "If he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by burning them to ashes and made them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly," that's verse 6. So he's saying, okay guys, the angels got judged, pre-flood people got judged, Sodom and Gomorrah got judged for all for their ungodliness, as you false teachers are, very ungodly. Verse 7 continues, "And if he rescued Lot, a righteous man, who was distressed by the filthy lives of lawless men." Now, verse 7 is a really a different take on Lot than what we see in the Genesis account. The Genesis account doesn't picture Lot just like Peter pictures him as the righteous man. Why Peter is calling Lot more righteous than what he might have been, either he knows something we don't know. Other than that, I don't know why Peter views Lot as being that righteous man. He shouldn't have even been living there in the first place. Verse 8, "For that righteous man living among them day after day was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds he saw and heard." Again, the Genesis account doesn't exactly portray it that way. I think Peter knew something that we don't know. Verse 9, "If this is so, then the Lord knows how to rescue godly men from trials and to hold the unrighteous for the day of judgment." So, this is interesting. The unrighteous will have their day of judgment, but God will protect the righteous. This reminds me a bit of the verse, and I forget where it's found, where Paul says that God's people do not experience God's wrath. They may experience his discipline, but his wrath is not his discipline. Peter goes on to say, "while continuing their punishment." The ungodly will be punished, and then they will be judged in the day of the Lord. And again, he's speaking to the false teachers, the antinomian Gnostics. Verse 10, "This is especially true of those who follow the corrupt desire of sinful nature and despise authority." Peter is stating the biblical view of our nature, who we really are at the core, is sinful. This is one basic biblical truth that is lacking the amount of press that it should be given in today's Christian world. We do not see ourselves as sinful as we should. Thus, repentance isn't preached like it should be. Now, when Peter says, follow, desire the sinful nature, and despise authority, what does it really mean by despising authority? What authority are we talking about here? Well, the Greek word that's translated as authority here comes from a form of kurios, meaning Lord. Some people believe the authority spoken of here is religious authority or civil authority, and maybe even the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Paul uses the same Greek word in Colossians 1:16 in relation to spiritual authorities. I tend to believe, because of the context, that we're talking about spiritual authorities here. These antinomian Gnostics are not being submissive to spiritual authority, meaning angels, by the mere way they teach about angels. Peter goes on to say, bold and arrogant, these men are not afraid to slander celestial beings. Their doctrine slanders celestial beings. Verse 11, yet even angels, although they are stronger and more powerful, do not bring slanderous accusations against such beings in the presence of the Lord. So we got celestial beings, and angels do not accuse such celestial beings in the sight of the Lord. Well, what does that mean? Most commentators refer this to Jude 8 and 9, and Jude 8 and 9 speaks of Michael the archangel fighting over the body of Moses. He's fighting Satan, the devil, over the body of Moses. And where does Jude get this understanding? He gets it from a non-canonical book called The Assumption of Moses. Jude is saying that Michael and the devil fought over the body of Moses, and he gets that from a non-canonical book. Why he would do that, it's hard to know, other than the fact that these people to whom Jude was talking to understood that there is or was some truth in the Assumption of Moses. The commentators relate Jude 8 and 9 to this verse here in 2 Peter, speaking about the same thing. Again, 2 Peter and Jude have a lot of phraseologies. The exact words that they use are the same, and that's why some people believe one or the other is plagiarizing. Anyways, the point is, seems to be this, that certain angels do not even accuse other certain angels in the presence of God, but these antinomian Gnostics seem to do that in the way they teach and in the things they say. And Peter can't wrap his head around this. Verse 12, but those men blaspheme in matters they do not understand. They have no clue of what they're talking about, Peter says. They are like brute beasts, creatures of instinct. They're like animals. They just behave like animals in every way. They just let their carnal instincts rule their lives, whether it's eating or whether it's sex or whatever. Remember, these Gnostics believe you cannot control our evil, human, fallen nature, so let's just give in to it. Born only to be caught and destroyed, and like beasts, they too will perish. Peter is saying, these guys are just born to destruction. That's how bad they are. They're just born to be destroyed. Peter does not have a lot of good to say about these antinomian Gnostics. This ends this section.